Affairs Committee to order.
Good, are you?
Good, good.
Purpose of the meeting today is to hear Senate Bill 121. Prime sponsor Senator Jones is here and would invite you to lead off in the testimony.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
You might recognize this bill.
What's that?
Did you see this last year?
Yeah.
Thank you, several. Okay. Each year, the federal government pays back the state of Alaska 25% of the revenues it receives from activities within the national forests in the state. This money, as mandated and federalized, be used for the benefit of the public schools, public roads, county or counties in which such national forest is situated. This money is to be paid out based on the area the county or counties have within the national forest. Within the Tongass National Forest, approximately 30% of the forest falls within the boundaries of organized burrows. Organized burrows have been found to be legally analogous to counties. Thus, approximately 30% of the revenues generated by activities in the national forest have actually found their way back to the areas within the forest as is mandated by federal law. The remaining 70% of the forest is accounted for by unorganized burrow area. There's been no method for distributing the funds back to this area, and so approximately 70% of the revenue generated by the forest has gone unaccounted for into the general fund. Senate Bill 121 identifies these funds and creates a mechanism for the disbursement of this money back to the timber harvest impacted areas. This legislation allows the affected agencies to determine what areas in an unorganized borough are most impacted by timber harvest and processing activities, and to make sure these funds are spent in the areas as mandated in federal law. As you can see in the accompanying backup of the roughly $9 million generated by the Tongass National Forest in 1990, nearly $6 million was attributed to activity in the unorganized area of the forest, and so was unaccounted for and was eventually lapsed into the general fund. The historical payment stream, also available in your packet, shows that the amount of money generated by this program varies greatly from year to year, but is generally significant.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator, go ahead.
You've seen the position paper from the Department of Community and Regional Affairs, and I wonder if you have any comments.
I haven't seen it. Somewhere. No, I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it.
Here is it.
I have it.
Well, I have it.
Well,
you
Mr.
want
Chairman,
to take the time to read this final thing?
Sure, that's fine. No, I was just going to make a comment. They do make a recommendation for some changes. We'll be talking about that.
Yeah.
And I thought if you'd have an opportunity, we can go ahead and, you know, I didn't know when that had been made available.
Yeah. Question in regards to that now?
Mr. Chairman, no, later is fine.
Okay.
They make a recommendation that there be further work and some other things brought in, and I merely wanted to know will he support that.
What we do is set up the Department of Education to handle, you know, the 25% that goes towards public schools, and the Department of Transportation for that portion of it that goes toward the public roads. And they have mechanisms. I know, like, PL 874 funds go to those communities based on how many students, parents work on federal land or with the federal government, whatever, and they determine the impact that way. So I'm sure there's formulas and there's data available from Department of Education that could determine that. And I know they're here, and they can probably testify to that. But
yeah, we intend to hear from the Department of Education
sure.
as regards to the issue of how it compares to PL 874 funds and
right.
the appropriateness of providing additional funds and that sort of thing, so we'll certainly hear from them. Did you have any other questions? Senator Jones, did you have anything else to add?
No, that's it. Are there any questions for me or might be able to answer?
As for myself, I have some questions and some concerns. I would work with you to try to address some of the other concerns that have been raised and see if we can't massage the bill a little bit to address some of those concerns.
Sure.
Senator Jarrett.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Where do the funds go now?
I assume they go into the general fund.
General fund. It's determined by the amount of national forest lands that are within the boundaries of the organized boroughs and the unorganized boroughs. But of course, unorganized boroughs, there's no way to distribute those funds under the present system. So it goes into the general fund. And the organized boroughs receive an automatic a check for that relates to the whatever the amount of dollars come back to the state. The stumpage, 25% of the stumpage fees flow back to the state. Of that amount, on the Tongass National Forest, there's roughly 16 million acres. 5 million acres are in organized boroughs. So 5/16 of those dollars actually are sent right to organized boroughs. Juneau, I think, has the most national forest land within its boundaries, and so it receives the largest. And then I think it's either Haines or Sitka and then Ketchum. But it's those dollars, it's that 11/16, I guess, that is out there that just goes to the general fund and has, really we're not within the concern is we're not following the federal law.
If all the unorganized borough in southeastern, which is the thrust of your bill, basic thrust, I guess, had organized, then the bill wouldn't be necessary because all those funds would be flowing to the boroughs, the boroughs that were formed, right?
Right.
Pretty good incentive out there to form a borough.
Exactly.
Especially with the recent. Has there been any increased interest? I'm not very familiar with southeastern.
I'm not. I haven't heard of any. About as much as there is anywhere else in the state, I guess.
Well, there is an increased interest
elsewhere.
That's not
correct. There is.
There's something.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Did you have another question, Senator?
Just a question there. This wouldn't be a dedication of funds, would it?
No, I don't think it would be. It would be a statutory distribution.
We're trying to conform with federal law.
I assume that our current law is not a dedication of funds, that it requires annual appropriation by legislature. And your senator's proposal would be, would require an annual appropriation. Consistent with many of our other formulas and funding distributions, we have to make an annual appropriation to execute those. I assume that's what we're doing.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator?
Through the chair, wouldn't there have to be a fiscal note? I see we have a fiscal note from DCRA. But shouldn't it include, am I missing something? Wouldn't we be losing from the general fund $6 million?
You're right. Yes, there should be a fiscal note.
Already talked about that.
We didn't talk about it, but certainly this is a fiscal note of sorts. I mean, it shows what the impact on the Treasury would be. We will get a formal fiscal note from Treasury or whoever would put that out. Might be DOA. I assume it would be Treasury that would put it out. It's DOA that the Department of Administration apparently is the one that distributes the funds to the organized municipalities now. And I have the sense that Department of Treasury doesn't pay very much attention to this money as it comes in or separately account for it or whatever, but that's another of the things that we need to get before us.
Mr. Chairman, would it also be possible to get a list of the affected communities?
Yes, that was another thing that we were going to try to get before us. Okay, yes.
Mr. Chairman, maybe we won't need to change the single day site school.
Yeah, well. It seems, you know, one of the questions that I, of course, had was the proposed legislation is pretty loose in terms of directing the Department of Education to come up with something. I'd like to work towards more specificity on that so that the legislature knows what it's doing or knows what it's authorizing. And that's something that, you know, we're going to have to work out, I think, to make it a workable bill. And there's a few of these other things that we've got to work on, but we'll certainly let the department give us their opinion on that. Okay. Are there any other questions for Senator Jones? Okay. If not, next, Steve Hole, are you ready to testify?
Sure.
Are we on teleconference? Anybody that wishes to testify?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Steve Hole from the Department of Education. The board doesn't have a position on the bill, so we don't have a recommendation for you as to support or opposition. I don't think we'd oppose it, and I don't think it would be any problem to derive a formula that would distribute whatever proceeds came into the account.
How? What basis would you do that? My memory serves me. It's the desire of the committee, I mean, of the sponsor to have it go to the communities most affected by forest development in their area. Is that the way you understand it?
Well, the language on lines 13 and 14 is pretty instructive as to the methodology of a weighting factor, and that is with respect to the overall population living and working on national forest land. Again, I suppose some of the things we want to look at are that the bill requires us to use average daily membership, and then we probably want to get Bureau of Labor Statistics, whatever population numbers are available from the employers in those various communities, and come up with a percentage weight factor of the student population as a function of the overall population, which works on national forest lands. I mean, I don't think it'd be all that difficult, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. What about the question as to, I know that the department does support additional funds for, or has supported additional funds for some of the single dual site communities. Some of them may be communities on this list. Is that true?
I haven't seen that list, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. The answer is yes.
And how would that fit with, to me, I think we have to look at the issue broadly as it relates to schools and make sure that we don't, by passing legislation of this nature, enrich one school district unduly at the expense of other school districts, or, you know, aside and apart from the issue of the single school site issue, or, you know, increasing education funds. It just doesn't seem to make sense to separate this one set of schools out and give them extra special treatment when we theoretically have a system of providing funds for education that tends to equalize in funding for education throughout the state. What would your thoughts be on that?
Well, I guess it depends on your philosophy.
Sorry.
The existing proposed fix for single and dual sites would provide additional state aid for all school districts which are single or dual sites of a population, I believe, under 3,000. Well, actually, it's irrespective of that. It hits all the single and dual site school districts. The state board at its meeting this week took action to endorse a little different approach. And under that approach, we would propose that in the context of the legislation before this body that deals with that issue, single site assistance go to Petersburg, Wrangell, Heidelberg, Craig, Quawk, Kahuna, Pelican, Skagway, and Yakutat, because I believe they're all under 750 average daily membership, which is the criteria suggested by the board. Now, having said all that, there are a variety of revenues that go to school districts which are completely outside the foundation formula, notably Indian lands and special education funds paid under Public Law 81874. Districts are entitled to those funds, and we can't count them in calculation of entitlement under the foundation program.
Is that by federal law? You can't count them, or that you can't count on them by state law?
By federal law, Mr. Chairman.
Could you provide us a list of those other sources of funding? I think it'd give us a more broad perspective on just what other sources there are out there and how districts are affected.
Certainly. Just for whatever it's worth, they would include Indian education, bilingual, federal bilingual education grants, a whole variety of categorical funds.
The title funds?
Yes, ma'am.
That would be interesting and helpful, I think, in our discussion. And could I also ask you to give us some, maybe it's difficult or time-consuming, although not difficult, to determine what we would be looking at in these communities for additional money. If you had $6 million to distribute, you say you could do it. Would it be an exhaustive exercise to give us a rough approximation of how you would break those monies out?
With all due respect, Mr. Chairman, yeah, it would entail a substantial amount of research. It would go to the ADM part we can handle without any question, but to determine exact boundaries of the national forest lands and the proportionate populations living and working on federal forest lands, and then trying to come up with a weighting factor, it would take more than the rest of the day.
Oh, I understand that. I mean, yeah, I wouldn't expect you to be able to do it overnight either. I'm talking about, you know, if you could even do it by next week or something like that. And I wouldn't necessarily be looking for something real specific, but I'd be looking for something that would give the committee and the rest of the legislature a little bit more indication of what we're doing. Because the way it is structured now, it's fairly loose.
I can at least report back to you as to whether we can do it or not, and I hope I can give you some ballpark estimates. I'll just have to see what's available.
Any other questions?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Oh, see, there was one other question. That was, is it your opinion that this would impact the federal disparity test at all, the PLA's, you got that right, the PLA's
have yes.
A disparity test, would that, do you think it would have an impact there, an adverse impact?
Well, certainly it would have an impact. It would not have a fatal impact. We've run some rough estimates based on the overall numbers, that is the aggregate amount available, and no, it wouldn't affect us.
Thank you. Let's see. We have Mike McKinnon from Juneau. Please state your name for the record and who you represent.
My name is Mike McKinnon. I'm with the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. I'm the Chief of Planning for Southeast Region. The department is looking at this bill. At the present time, we have got a draft position paper prepared and have a few things to iron out on that first. Generally, we're supportive of the bill and here to answer any questions you might have about that.
Would you envision, or how do you envision the money flowing in the unorganized area?
I think that on first cut, we see that the funds would come from the Department of Administration to Southeast Region. It would be used for highway improvements and maintenance in those areas that were affected most directly by logging activities. Prince Wales Island is a good example of that, where roads to connect communities are used by both the logging industry and the citizens of those communities. And because of demands, other federal highway demands, it's difficult to get a good program going on Prince of Wales Island. And this would offer that opportunity.
Would you say that putting funds within the entire Southeast region, would you say that the areas within the unorganized borough affected by this law would be areas of high need and high concern? I mean, where you would naturally want to put money elsewhere, or are there other areas that may be of a greater, have a greater need and would be a higher departmental priority? I guess part of the, one of my concerns would be that we direct funds away from the highest and best need or highest and best use to a lower and less necessary need. Now, I don't know if that's at all the case. Maybe that where these funds would go is exactly where the department would like to see more funds go.
Mr. Chairman, I think that's correct. And in with the specific nature of these funds going back to the communities that are affected by the timber harvest, it seems very appropriate that they would be subject to a higher level of maintenance, which is Prince of Wales. Again, I'll just use Prince of Wales for an example. That is their utmost concern, but they do not have access to other communities during the winter when flying and Marine Highway Service is at a lower level. And we're not able, with the present federal aid system, to accommodate those needs. So we do see this as a direct impact type of fund, which can go back at that priority to those communities.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you're saying that this would be where the department would like to see funds spent anyway?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, that's correct.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions by committee members? Okay, thank you. Okay, next, Bob Weinstein. Can I pronounce your name right?
Weinstein.
Weinstein.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, my name is Bob Weinstein. I'm superintendent of Southeast Island School District. And just for your information, Southeast Island School District is a regional education attendance area in Southern Southeast. We have schools in 19 communities, and we also bus kids from Hyder into British Columbia. 11 of our 19 communities are associated with logging, and 9 of those 11 are associated with logging on national forest land. I'm here, obviously, to speak in favor of the bill as far as its impact on school districts is concerned. It's our understanding that the intent of federal law is to provide specific federal financial assistance to offset impacts on public roads and public schools in those areas where there is impact by the logging industry. I think that our school district is one example, although it's certainly not the only example, of impacts which the logging industry has in Southeast Alaska, which are unique and, in my opinion, deserving of meeting the intent of federal law for distribution of such funds. One of the things I'd like to note, and that is the unorganized borough is considered a county for a number of purposes, and with respect to receipt of funds, the unorganized borough is considered a county when the state receives funds from the federal government. And it certainly makes a lot of sense, especially when you have a federal requirement that the funds be spent in those counties for schools and public roads, that a county, whether or not it's organized or unorganized, which generates funds, should receive some benefit from those funds. Our school district, again, for your information, comprises approximately 50% of the Tongass National Forest. It's a large school district area-wise, small population-wise. Another point I'd like to make is that my understanding is that Senator Jones's bill proposes to spend spend 25% of the receipts on public schools, with 75% apparently being retained for expenditure, again, in the area for public roads. So we're talking about $1.5 million rather than a $6 million distribution, right, as I understand it. Another interesting point with respect to fiscal impact is that, for a reason that remains unknown to me, the appropriation which the, apparently the Department of Community and Regional Affairs receives exceeds the distribution which has occurred in the last few years. For example, the authorized, I believe, FY91 appropriation is $4 million. Of that amount, only about 2.7 has been distributed to organized boroughs. If the 25%, which equals about $1.5 million, were to be distributed, we're talking about an additional fiscal impact over the current year's appropriation of only about $200,000. In other words, the legislature is already appropriating funds above and beyond that which goes to the organized communities. It's simply not being distributed as we feel is intended by both federal and state law. One of the other comments I'd like to make, if I might, there was a comment earlier about incentive for boroughs. And one of the important features is to understand that boroughs, again, by federal law, are entitled to a share of funds based upon square miles, if you will, or acreage of the national forest. So one of the curious points is that Prince of Wales Island comprises only about 20% of our school district area-wise. Were to form a borough entirely, which is certainly a lot of debate and has been for certainly the last 11 years, that particular borough would only be entitled to, again, 20% of the 70% of the funds which are currently lapsing into the general fund. And also importantly, if one goes back to the distribution since statehood, you'll find that there's been some years where the total amount of funds, unlike this year, which during which the state received $9 million, there's been some years where it's been a couple hundred thousand or zero. So I hardly think that, given the nature of the logging industry, that receipts of such funds would be an incentive or a disincentive regarding borough coordination. And I'm certainly available to answer any questions that committee members might have, or if there's any questions regarding why logging might have unique impacts on certain school districts.
Okay. Any questions?
Just have one there, and it probably has nothing to do with the building. Do you bus students from Hyder to British Columbia?
Yes, we do.
Is that for all levels, or is that just...
All levels.
You don't have a school in Hyder?
No.
And it's on... It's listed here.
It is a community in Alaska, right?
So what would happen to the revenue for Hyder? Would that be given to British Columbia?
I'm not sure what, again, exactly how the distribution would occur, because that, at least under the proposal, is intended to be done by an administrative regulation or by the commissioners. So I can't answer that question. I would assume that if there's no impact or no cost providing education that our school district incurs, that we, for example, would not receive revenues for this. We don't receive any revenues from the state for the Hyder children, other than reimbursement for student transportation. It's a direct contract between the provincial government and the state government.
Mr. Chairman, I guess maybe I'm just hung up on this point. Shouldn't be that. Does your school district then receive funds now for educating the students in Hyder?
No, we don't.
Who pays for their education?
The state of Alaska has a direct contract with the it's a school district based in Terrace. It's a regional school district, and that's what we've chosen to do. It's more cost effective for all concerned to do it that way than if we counted the kids through the foundation funding. It's a good bargain for the state of Alaska, and it's also something which has community support there.
Did Tom Taggart graduate from British Columbia?
I don't know. I don't have any knowledge about where he may have graduated from.
Any other questions from any members? Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
We've got Steve Peters next.
Chairman, I'm Steve McPeters with the Alaska Council of School Administrators, and we'd like to go on record in support of the concept of this bill of utilizing the 25% of the stuffage fees for these school districts. In addition, I have a unique position in the fact that I was superintendent in Haines, where we had all of the stumpage revenue come to our borough and was utilized for education. So I have a unique, probably more of an introspective experience as to the value of these stumpage funds being utilized for educational purposes. When you list out the school districts, as you did, that would be impacted, that are part of the single dual site issue, we all know that these school districts have been impacted adversely over the last several years. So the stumpage, these stumpage fees could be well utilized in helping them to bring them up to a standard in which we would like to see them. And as a follow-up question to Senator Zaroff, in Haines, we did just the opposite. We had Canadians bus to our schools in Haines, and it was the Canadian government that paid for their education and the tuition program. So there are, along the borders of Alaska and Canada, there are several exchange programs that are going on to help that are beneficial to the kids in either country. And I'd be happy to answer any questions you have.
I think I have anybody else have any questions?
I guess I just have a note here on this 75-25 split. Is that just an arbitrary figure, or is there any reason why it isn't 50-50? Or?
I believe you'll have to ask that to the sponsor of the bill. I don't know why the figures reached 25 and 75. I can't answer that.
Maybe we could have somebody.
Excuse me, I'm sorry.
Maybe we could just have somebody answer that later.
Yeah, that's a good question. I didn't really focus on it, but I certainly agree with me too.
Chairman.
Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, if I could, the federal government allows each state to determine the proportion. The current statute that is on the books provides for a 75-25% split in the unorganized borough, and we're not seeking to change that. That's set by
current
the legislature.
Right.
But it could be changed, but we're not advocating a change.
Okay. Ramon, did you want to join us and explain some of the accounting aspects of this? You don't look very enthusiastic.
Mr. Chair, I'm Ramon Henderson, Director of Administrative Services for the Department of Community Regional Affairs. Not claim to be an authority on this bill. I'll wait until they're listening before I start. I will maybe clarify a couple things with respect to what the bill proposes to do, but mainly I'm here to talk about what the accounting is, to clear up any concern you have about that. On the 25-75% split, the way the law is written right now is that the distribution of the fund to the organized borough, we are to do that, and those organized boroughs and the amount of money that we are to distribute is determined by the federal government. They send us a letter telling us what the amount is, and essentially we then make those disbursements. What happens is that we budget in our budget, we receive federal authority. We don't actually receive funds, we receive federal authority, and we budget for $4 million federal authority for receipt of these funds. The actual amount that we disperse is somewhere about around the neighborhood of $2.2 million, between $2 and $2.5 million, and that goes to the organized borough. The balance lapses to the general fund. The balance of that which we did not expend, in other words, the difference between the $2.5 and the $4 million that we received in authority, goes to the general fund, as well as the amount that's received. As you were told earlier, you received about $9 million. That remaining $5 million also goes to the general fund. That money is to be dispersed by statute, 25% for public schools and 75% for roads. Which we don't know how that, we do not know if that's exactly what happens. We do know the money lapses to the general fund, and that's how disbursements are supposed to be made to the unorganized borough. But the department only makes the distribution disbursements to the organized borough. So I hope that clarifies some of the accounting aspects of it.
Are you saying that you project what they will be, and then you distribute to the organized municipalities, to the organized boroughs, as funds come in from the federal government?
No, Mr. Chair. We do not do the projections. We receive from the Department of Agriculture the exact amount that is supposed to be dispersed to the particular organized boroughs, and it's based on the acreage and the amount that's harvested within those organized boroughs. So, no, it's not a projection. It's a number that we're given, and we simply make the disbursements for.
But why? What's the difference again? I'm missing that.
Between
the $4 million and the two.
Oh, we never know what that amount's going to be, so we budget high. We budget just to have federal authority for $4 million, and we only used the 2.5 of it.
Only 2.5 in stumpage fees came in.
Only 2.5 actually needs to be dispersed to the organized borough. Now, we used to budget our budget was 2.8 million in federal authority, but then the receipts started coming in much higher, so we budgeted higher for $4 million. We never know what the amount is that has to be.
But you pay out what's due to municipalities based upon what's brought in from the federal government on stumpage fees. Anybody else out there shaking their head? Yes.
We pay out what. That's correct. I guess essentially that's correct. Again, the only amount that we do disperse, though, is the amount that we have been...
you received?
No. We received $9 million.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
We only have authority for $4 million, but we received $9 million. The $4 million we set up in a restricted revenue account. The balance of $5 million is unrestricted revenues, essentially in the general fund.
Right.
So that takes care of that $5 million.
Okay.
Now, of the $4 million... We actually dispersed, and in fact, let me tell you what the number was. We actually dispersed $2,776,000, and that goes to the organized boroughs. The balance goes right with the rest of the money to the general fund. And that $2,776,000 that we dispersed is based on a letter that we received from the Department of Agriculture as to what is supposed to be dispersed to each organized borough.
Well, that's
still confusing.
No, I'm not confused. I don't think I wasn't ever under the impression that $4 million was spent. So
it is not.
I don't think anybody asserted that.
I do.
I mean, these figures don't indicate that either. Okay. All right. Question.
Mr. Chairman.
Good.
I think $6 million is a deterrent to borough formation. What do you think?
A deterrent to borough formation?
Well, I mean, if it's not there, I mean, I think if it's distributed, and it's not new money by becoming a, it's not a carrot. What is it?
Through the chair, Senator, you're correct, and if you're stating that. There's $6 million that would go to the unorganized borough that no longer...
Well, no, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
If we pay it out and you don't have to be a borough to get it, you've got it.
Correct.
Isn't that a deterrent borough formation?
It could be viewed with that, I believe.
Well, I mean, it could be. It is. Right?
I would agree.
Okay, any other questions? Okay, you can get out the hot seat now.
Thank you.
Okay,
but if you are a borough, you get it too much.
Yeah. But that might be a carrot.
Okay, is there anybody else in the audience that wishes to testify? Are you raising your hand?
No.
Scratching your
ear. Always got it.
Okay.
Being patient.
We have also received a... a letter from Scott Burgess with the AML that refers to, was that in their packets? Refers to some of states their general support, but expresses five areas of concerns and would like to. One of their concerns is just the nature of how the funds would be distributed and that sort of thing. But anyway, if there's nobody else to testify, I think what I'd like to do is have an opportunity to work on this a little bit more, look at some of the options to make it more specific, and see if we can't come up with something that meets the desires of the committee.
Just out of curiosity, can we just take a look at that formula and see, you know, how long it's been in place? And certainly the state of the 25 and 75, what effect it would
be. Yeah, that apparently was, well, I don't know, it may not have been arbitrary, it looks arbitrary. Certainly we can look at the genesis of that. Let's do that. Let's look at that. Let's get ourselves a new fiscal note. Make sure we have a fiscal note from Treasury, so that it's quite clear what we're talking about in terms of new distribution. Also, one other thing I'd like to have a clear picture of is the current expenditure. And this would be to Mr. McKinnon there with DOT. The current DOT expenditures in the unorganized borough. Easier to get a handle on the operating side, I guess, and less clear on the capital side. I don't know if it's envisioned that this would be operating funds or capital funds.
Capital
funds? Okay. Maybe we could get a historical perspective then on how this level of funding, I guess we'd be talking about 75% of $6 million, how that would relate to the historical level of capital appropriations in that unorganized area.
Mr. Chairman? Question that's probably a simple answer, but I don't know it. How do we figure out the unorganized borough is an amorphous mass that's everything that isn't a borough? So how do we figure this? Why don't we just figure the state of Alaska? Because that is a direct impact. Is that how we determine?
Well, see, that's part of the lack of specificity in the bill is, you know, is that.
I mean, you say these communities.
Yeah.
But is that based on impact?
Well, I think that's the theory. Mm-hmm. But how you distribute funds to communities is not defined. I mean, that's what we were looking for, some more specificity from the Department of Education and the Department of Transportation. You know, would have to go through the same process of determining where this money should be spent.
Mr. Chairman, I think the question that the current method of distribution is to organized boroughs that are within a national forest. Mm-hmm. And we're taking, are all of the people that are in this included in the boundaries of the national forest? The new people? I mean, this new portion here?
Yeah, yes. That was the, yes, they're in within the boundaries of the National Forest, is my understanding. I could be wrong on that, but that was my
understanding. Are the communities listed?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they were.
They're all within the what's considered the boundaries of the
towns? That's
the
my understanding there, yeah.
That, but that's the question I'd be interested
okay.
in.
Okay, well, we'll get clarification on that. Mr. Weinstein.
I'm trying to get cool yet in here.
Did you want to add something to that?
Well, I thought I might clarify it slightly on a more technical basis. All of those communities are in the unorganized borough in southeast Alaska. Some of them lie outside the boundaries of the national forest itself. A good example is Metlakatla is a special reservation status. It's not national forest per se.
I see.
So I don't know if that's answering the question.
Well, I guess the question would be, is it that narrow? All the rest are.
Is that the only? Yeah. Well, we'll find that out. That's a good question.
Not very artfully spoken.
Okay. If there's nothing else to come before this meeting, we'll adjourn.